I was, as Brother Scotty says, getting before the Lord and getting before the Lord since last month. And I'm going to tell you what, the enemy does not like us getting before the Lord, because I'm not going to say what the world says. If it ain't been one thing, it's been another. It's been just the same thing. The enemy's fighting. He don't want me to get before the Lord, because my title today is The Believer's Authority. I spoke about this a while back, but the Lord's given me another, I don't know if you call it revelation, but a couple more things to look at. Last month I talked about, read the whole book of Ruth and being redeemed. And my revelation to me was, you know, redeemed is not that Christ kept us from something, so to speak, but he bought back with a price and reinstated us. And not only reinstated us, redeemed us, but we are reinstated more than we had to start with. And God knew that, because if you take the word authority, I'll get a little bit ahead of myself. In the beginning, the authority that man had was a little different than what we have now. That's the reason I made the title The Believer's Authority. Travis, you put Genesis 1, 27 and 28 up, please. And it says, so God created man in his own image. In the shape of God created he him. Male and female, female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The phrase he's got in, that God says in there, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and subdue, and have dominion, means to rule. We had that. And it said, and God blessed them. So he gave them the dominion of the power and authority to rule. Now, we all know what happened if we go into Genesis chapter 3, and I got time to go into all that story, because I got like 8 pages of stuff, and I won't never get to all of it anyway. I'm going to go as far as I can, because when I start talking fast, I bite my tongue, and I'm not easy to understand, and I don't want that to happen. So if you go to Genesis chapter 3 and read that chapter, you see the fall of man. What happened? Man, through sin of rebellion and disobedience, lost his authority. He gave over his rule to who? The enemy, Satan. Now, not only did he do that, he lost his authority, he lost his perfect commune with God, the spiritual commune, and cursed by the dominion of sin. The dominion of sin, the power of it, is the rule of Satan. Satan does not have like the kind of power that you see in all the movies about evil and demons and Satan and all that, and the pitchfork and the forked tail and on the horns. That's not him at all. Because Paul said, be not deceived. If he could deceive the very elect by transforming himself into an angel of light, he'll do it. And when that happens, the only thing he wants to do is deceive. Because when he deceives man, he keeps him away from God. And when man stays away from God, then man cannot come to God. And I know that sounds like a really simple, childish-like thing, but it's just putting words out there. If man will not go to God because something else is going on, he will not go to God, which means he's still over here under the power of the dominion of sin. Until what? Until you come to God and you find Christ and you believe that he is the Son of God and that he paid the price and redeemed you, each and every person. That's the reason when everybody, the people that get born again, something happens inside of them called repentance. And when that happens and it touches your life, you never ever forget it. You change. Behold, all things are new. We are new creatures. Now, with all of that, God didn't stop there, although that's the crown jewel, because I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Scripture after one of the scriptures, I'm going to, Luke 10:20, Jesus sent the 70 out, and he told him, he said, I give you power and authority. And I'm not going to quote all of that right this minute. They went and did everything he said to do, and they came back and said, even the evil spirits are subdued and powerless against us. I'm paraphrasing. And Jesus told them, he said, that's good, but notwithstanding, don't rejoice just at that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's our crown jewel, because that's what Jesus paid the ultimate price for. But along with it comes other things. As we know here and have been taught here and get taught here all the time, healing, health, the prosperity, favor. And if you stay in God's Word, it'll build on up to, and it has for me, that although I'm nowhere I need to be, my faith has increased. And when your faith increases and you get before the Lord in His Word, Romans 10:17 was, all of this is not even what I got written down here. It says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And Brother Scotty brought up a scripture a couple of months ago. I believe it's Psalms 119:130. It says, the entrance of thy word, that phrase, you can hear. But what happens if you don't let the entrance happen? Now, God's Word says, you might say, well, Brother Monty, God's Word says it will accomplish what He sent out. It will. But God will not force anybody and His Word and His will on anybody, because that's not the way it works. God wants us to worship Him in truth and in spirit, willingly. Because when you give your heart into something, I thought about bringing my guitar this morning, standing up here and giving a little. And in doing so, I know I've got to work on some. I know y'all see me play up here, but anybody that's ever come to practice, God's Word says, David wrote in Psalms, delight yourself in the Lord. What does that mean? That means memorize His Word and be happy with it. Now, at practice, what do y'all see me doing? I'm playing the guitar. Most of the time, I'm just, boy, you know, I'm like a two-year-old with a fire truck. Am I the same way when I got God's Word right here? Not every single time. I hate to tell that on myself, but I'm being honest. And God showed me 2 days ago that's what it means when you say delight yourself in the Word of the Lord. So I said, oh, okay, Lord, I get it. And whenever I do start reading God's Word, and maybe initially it don't feel like it's that makes me that happy, but guess what happens? Every word is like a snowball going downhill. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And what's happening is that authority is starting to work in my life. Now, what is that authority? The believer's authority, I'm going to go back. The word authority simply means in the dictionary, delegated power or power given and supported. A good way to illustrate that is whenever there's a wreck or something and the police are out there and they got the road blocked off and they put their hand up, or whoever's working the wreck, what do? Stop. How do they stop your big old 5,000-pound vehicle, 3,000, whatever it is? They can't do it in themselves. They can't physically stop a car. None of us are Superman, as the movies point out, It's that authority. The authority given to him by the legal law, offices in the land, and we know that we're supposed to stop, or there's going to be consequences. When Satan knows that you've got that authority, guess what? He's going to stop, because he knows there's going to be consequences. To him, not for us, to him. The consequence to him is the furtherance of God's kingdom in us and in the world, in this world, in this planet, in our neighborhood, our communities, our cities, and our countries. And this is all I'm going to say about the political thing that's going on. I watched several videos about President Trump, and I don't place my trust in him, but I place my trust in him through God, because I heard him say to a bunch of people in the room that when he got shot and it went through his ear, that he believed in his heart that God saved him to make America a better country and a great country. You know how long it's been since I've heard a politician bring out the name of God in a faith-based application? Long time. I can't even remember the last time. I know I was a kid. I think I might have heard something in John F. Kennedy's when I was a little bitty kid in school say something about it. But the point I'm bringing out is this: the president of this country, God has raised him up, And he has the authority of God, of a born-again believer. And I believe he's born again. I could be wrong, because nobody can proclaim God and Jesus Christ without having something in them that makes them do that. That's the Holy Spirit. And that's where we get our authority from. Now, we've got delegated power, or power given and supported. Now, what is our authority, the believer's authority? You can put a lot of definitions on it. I wrote one that's about this long, and it's just fancy. But what it is, it's the promise through the redemption, being redeemed through Jesus Christ, of God's perfect plan to empower us to operate in this world after we messed up, or man messed up, and give Satan the power to rule this world. What does that mean? That means now you're a light in a dark place. And you can be a great light in a dark place if you're born again. And there's something inside each and every one of us that wants to be that light if you're born again. And the reason I can say that, I can say it from experience, because I've tried times in my life, as I testified before, to be that light. And I could just, I did it for a while, but nothing ever hang on. But praise God. When I got my heart right, and I hope, my little granddaughter, when she wants me, she'll run up to me now, she can't talk, she'll go, I know what that means. She wants me to pick her up. And I'll pick her up. But when you get your heart right, you run to God and you throw your arms up. And that's what I did. April the 20th, 2014, in this altar. And then I got born again, and something inside me changed. I know what that was. And now I can do the things and say the things I used to hear preachers and people of God say, in such and such day, at such and such place, at such and such time, I met the Lord. And I got born again. Now, like I said all of that. When you get born again, it doesn't stop there. That's the crown jewel. That's the number one thing. Your name is written in heaven. But now you've got to live the rest of your life out in a world that is ruled by the dominion of sin. But you don't have to live under the dominion of sin. You have to live in a world where God saw in his heart and destroyed everybody but eight in the world at one time, because man strove in his heart, I'm paraphrasing, to sin continually against God. Do you think that has stopped? No. Because Satan is still the ruler of this world. Now, when you get born again, and everybody this happened to, and it was like a second miracle to me in my life. I said, okay, I'm born again. I'm coming to church. I'm praising the Lord. And I tell people about Jesus, sometimes here, there, and yonder. And didn't have a problem with that. Still do. And I'm on the praise team, and I'm hallelujah, and things are feeling good. But after a while, I'm going to tell on me. If you're not careful, all of those habits, the flesh will take them, and they become habits. And I got to a point where I said, Lord, I'm not unhappy, but I feel like there's something not right in here. I know I'm born again. I don't want to sin against God. So I started hearing preaching from a pastor. We've all heard it. And I heard some other preaching. And Brother Scotty's preaching, occupy. Lord tells us to occupy. And I heard that and this has been several years ago. It kind of hit me one day. I was thinking, what Brother Scotty preach about? Because sometimes, I ain't going to ask you to hold your hands up, because I'm guilty of it. You ever left here and go home and want to tell somebody about what was taught, preached, or talked about at church and not be able to remember it? That hurt me. So there for a while, I started taking notes. I bring a notebook. And what that did is help me to start not doing what Max said. In one ear and out the other. I want it to land in here. And when it comes to the authority, I started hearing Brother Scotty's preaching about occupying, and it hit me one day. Well, am I occupying? I'm going to church. Ain't that God's will? Yeah, that's God's will. I feel like it's God's will that I do what I'm doing in the church, in my ministry. But then, it wasn't too long, I got this ministry. And I count it a joy and an opportunity and an honor. But whenever you start ministering in front of other people, you better know what you're doing. And I'm not talking about head knowledge. So I started thinking and getting before the Lord. And I found out, well, y'all don't know April, she don't read as many now as she does, but she's still reading. She read a bunch of books in her 80-something. I don't remember, it's 80-something. And I decided I was going to read books. And the first one I read, I'm not going to lie to anybody and be honest, was a book about overcoming demons and your authority in Jesus by Brother Kenneth Hagin. And I read that book, and it was like the whole world just mushroomed. Everything was, you know, sunshine and birds chirping. Everything's in better color because I realized I had something inside of me that I needed to wake up. That's my believer's authority. Now, is it required? I didn't find in the Bible where God says you've got to do this, like, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's times that in your life as a born-again person, if it gets dull, as Brother Scotty says, you don't have to be dry, and it gets dry, you know why? You're at one level, and God's saying, come here. You know, throw those arms up. Come here. And that's what I did. I started praying, asking the Lord. Now, Travis, did I give you Matthew 28:18? We'll start with this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, his disciples. This is after he was resurrected. And saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. There's a reason. You would think, well, he was the Son of God. Didn't he have power anyway? Not like this. Because the scriptures have to be fulfilled and God's plan has to work. God's plan was, I'm going to raise up something, someone, that's going to be a man. Because the first one, and the first man failed because he sinned, but this man is not going to fail. And I'm going to bring all of my plans together for the ones that I love. Now, who does he love? Will you put John 3:16-17 up there? I know we all know John 3:16. I like to put 3:17 with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Those first words, for God so loved the world. If I'm paraphrasing a little bit, for God so loved every one of us in this world. And then, this is Jesus talking, by the way. And it says in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through him, the Son, the people of the world, might be saved. Okay, so now we're saved. And now we see in Matthew 28:18, that God, Jesus has been, went to the cross, he's died, the death of a man, he's been buried, the burial of a man, but praise God, he got resurrected in the power of God. The same power that resurrected Jesus lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to prove with Scripture, and I'm sure I won't get through with it today because it's already taking me longer with my slow-talking self than I thought it was going to take. I'm going to show you in Scripture that that same power Jesus talks about, and it's not that it's a power like, you know, we're superhuman people. No, we're super blessed and supernatural. We have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again inside of you, Jesus paid a price for that to happen. God, in other words, God says, I have this for you. My Son paid the price for it. Why do you not do it? And he's not going to force you. Because if you're forced to do something, I'm just guilty as anybody. If I'm in the flesh and somebody says, you're going to do that, buddy, I tell you what. Before I got born again, you better not tell me that. I don't care if it's picking up a piece of paper off the ground. Because you're going to have to physically pick me up, stick my head down there, take my hand, pick that paper up, and squeeze my fingers around it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to fight you with everything I got. Now, that's the way I used to be. And my daddy didn't like that. I found out real quick. Well, daddy says, okay, I'll do it because, you know, one day I have to listen to what daddy says. Then I found out you get out in the world and, boy, you pay a big price if you don't listen to what you're supposed to listen to. get in trouble with the law and all kinds of people. Nobody likes you. Everybody thinks you're hard-headed, know-it-all, and cocky and got an attitude. I don't know why. I just don't want to do what they tell me to do. What's wrong with that? But now we're born again. And God says, my son has paid the price for all of this. This is what I want you to do. This is what I have for you. And like I said, Jesus has died, resurrected, born again. And Travis, you put up Ephesians 1, 20 and 21, please. Which he wrought in Christ, meaning God, when God raised him, Christ, from the dead and set him, Christ, at his own right hand, God's own right hand, in the heavenly places, for far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now, when we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit as his ambassador to us, our helper, our advocate. So now there is a son, a man in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that represents us and brought us into this position. We are now represented in the throne of God with the power that Jesus has far above all principalities. That's talking about all the sin, the dominion of sin, the rulers of the wicked rulers of this world. Not talking about the politicians. It's talking about evil spirits, demons, and the power of Satan. Jesus stripped all of them when he went to the cross. I didn't give Travis this, but it's found in Colossians chapter 2. All of us need to read a little bit by ourselves anyway. Now, we put Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 up. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places. Where would we just read that Jesus was? In heavenly places. In Christ. There's your scripture. When something comes against you, and Lord knows I'm not any less blessed or more blessed than anybody else, I have things that come against me. And here lately, they've been coming at me like somebody with a slingshot. But if I had not listened to the contents of my heart yearning for God to seek this out, I might still be in the defeated position I was in and not be able to live and get past the oppression that the enemy can deceive me of. The enemy cannot put depression on me. The enemy cannot put oppression on me unless I believe what he says. Now, Sister Teresa said last week. You had Sunday school last week, didn't you? But if you're praising the Lord, you're not what? Number one, talking or thinking about your problems. It's real hard to speak about one thing and think about another in your heart. Well, the same thing holds true about your authority. If you're speaking your authority, you're not being oppressed because you speak what is in here. Now, you can start speaking it out of habit, out of a formula, and out of a whatever you want to call it, but if you don't believe it, it's not going to do you much good. Because even if you're born again, you have to make the decision that God's word is first, all, and final. So no matter what a person has to do, for me, what I had to do was stay in the word of God. Because I found out that I was seeing life as nothing more than something I had to live through, that I had to get through each and every day. Even though I was coming to church and the Lord's blessing me and he's taking care of me, and I know the Lord helped me through the years that I wasted not living for him. He gave me the opportunity to keep living and make it to the point to where I finally said, okay, Lord, I want this. And he knew my heart was right. At any point, if he wasn't the God that he is, You know, I could have made my own choice, and I did at times, at one time, seriously, to end my life. I'm not going to go into all that. That ain't what I'm talking about. But praise God, things worked out to where I made it here to April 20th, 2014. I keep saying that because in here, it's the revelation God gave me. How can those people remember that? I remember it because I got born again. Since that happened, I can take the Word of God and I start putting it in my heart and reading it, delighting myself in it. When I say hide it, I mean meditate and remember it. You can read a million things in a day. If you don't remember them, what good do they do you? Number one, if you need to come back to it later and remember it, no matter what it is, say, I need to do that. What was it? What was it I was reading? Same thing with God's Word, except there's enemy is coming against you, and he's going to throw everything out there to distract you that he possibly can. Playing your guitar, looking at guitar lessons on YouTube, listening to guitar lessons. And I said that because that's to me. I've had to learn to stop some of that because it takes away from my time with the Lord. I deleted Facebook, and the Lord gave me, and I ain't going to do it no more, the Lord gave me clearance, I'll say, to let me have Facebook again, but I do not spend not much time on it at all. I look at it once or twice a day, and that's usually about it. Now the enemy is starting something else. You know, just one distraction after another. I've got to learn that I have the authority to stop him from doing that. Brother Scott, he can't do it. He can pray for me. He can't do it. Brother Johnny can't do it. Sister Teresa, Sister Sandy, Sister Doris, Sister Samantha, they can't do it for me. Sister Stacy, none of y'all can do it for me. Brother Travis, nobody can do it for me. I got to do it. Every person has to have that single relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. If you ever seen anybody that knows how to live in their authority, and I'm not an example. I'm not claiming to be. I know some examples. They're sitting in this room. They were inspirational. Just about every, I'll go and say it, just almost every single adult in this room, you have inspired me. All of you, Brother Johnny, Sister Samantha, Sister Doris, Granny, Sister Stacy, Sister Sandy, Sister Teresa, Brother Travis, Brother Scotty, Sister Beth, all y'all have inspired me. Because there's been times I didn't want to come to church. Believe it or not, yeah, that's true. There's been times that I have come right up to the hour and calling Brother Scotty and say, hey, I don't want to do Sunday school. I just, you know, I'm not sick, I'm just... I don't want to do it. I'm tired. I don't feel good. How many times have I done that, Brother Scotty? And I'm not bragging on me. Don't get me wrong. What I am bragging on is the glory of God and the Christ that lives in me through the Holy Spirit. That's all that gets me through most of my days. And then we're not even going to talk about, you know, the other problems that you have. You know, family, job, vehicle, all those things. All of those things are distractions. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And then once you get there, we see that God has got us there through Jesus. Now, how did Jesus get there? Well, of course, he came to earth, God's Son. He ministered. He died on the cross for us. He was buried. He was resurrected. Those are words that just, he ascended into the right hand of the Father. Now he blesses us through that, through spiritual blessings in heavenly places. All of those words are good words. They're highly honored words, but they still cannot come close to what the price Jesus paid for us to have what he has given us. It says, I didn't give you a scripture. I'm just going to refer to it. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Paul tells us God has given us, born-again believers, the ministry of reconciliation. What that means is we are to be the ambassadors of Jesus Christ for God to go out and reconcile the lost to God. In other words, we are God's mouthpiece to the lost folks in this world. That's what that means in a nutshell, to paraphrase it. Now, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and so are we, as I said a while ago. It's Galatians 2:20, please. These are just scriptures. If you want to follow a path, a point-to-point path, that you can go through to prove what I'm saying, because my words are man's words, but they're the words that God's given me out of His Word. And it says, this is Paul speaking, but he's speaking as representative as a born-again person. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the Father of the Son of God, faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. We're crucified with Him. What does that mean? Well, we don't have to hang on the cross like Jesus did, but we've got to crucify some things in our life. Distractions. And when I got my revelation, what is it? 1 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. I don't remember if it's first or second now. Though we walk in the flesh, we war not after the flesh. Praise God. And I got the revelation and I got thinking, man, but the our power is mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds in this world that's coming against you, born again believer. His number one name is Satan. There's evil spirits. There's demons that want to come at us. Now, they cannot physically hurt you nor kill you, but they can cause other people to do things or put thoughts into your head and things to happen to distract you. All they want to do is keep you from God's Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the entrance of God's Word. If they can stop those physical things from happening to each and every one of us, now it won't kill us, but it takes away from our lives. It hurts us spiritually. And after a while, it gets to the point, have you never done like, I've been like this before. I love sandwiches, the type of sandwiches I like to eat. I love mayonnaise sandwiches. Way to go, Sister Teresa. I remember you like them too. But, you know, if you eat enough of them, you ain't going to like them. Not for a while. So I don't eat like 10 in a row. I'll eat, you know, two or three here and one or two there. Same. That's the flesh. As a born-again believer, if you do not keep yourself in God's Word to help keep your mind, which is part of the flesh, renewed, you're going to feel what you shouldn't be feeling. You're going to feel oppressed. You're going to feel heavy. You're going to feel like, well, I don't feel like God's close to me. I don't feel like this is working in my life. It ain't God. His scriptures say God is not a man that He should lie. That means that He's speaking and His words don't lie. His Word says it will accomplish that which He sent out. But if He sends it out and there's no entrance of it into us, then it's going to accomplish it somewhere else. So we see what we're crucified. We have to crucify those things that come against us. Romans 3:24, please, Travis. It says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I've said a lot about redemption, redeemed. Whenever we were redeemed, bought back, we were justified, just like Jesus is justified. 1 Corinthians 1:2, please. And to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ, Jesus called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So now, we're crucified through Christ, we're justified through Christ, and we're sanctified through Christ. Matthew 5:6, please. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In the Amplified, that word filled means satisfied. That one was a revelation to me. When I asked God, I said, God, I started asking Him because Brother Scott is preaching it. Faith starts where the will of God is known. Well, I know it's God's will for me to be born again and to participate in church attendance and, you know, further His kingdom, but what else? And this scripture, I mean, just jumped out at me. Blessed are they which do hunger. Jesus talking. It's not hunger after natural food. It's after spiritual things. Blessed are they which do hunger. This. Do hunger and thirst. After what? Righteousness. We are made righteous through Jesus to God. But the thirst after righteousness is the thirst after God, because God is righteous. It says blessed, meaning if you're hungry and thirsty for God, you will be filled. If you're hungry and thirsty after God, I seen a thing other day on Facebook, you know, you stand outside with a shovel and ask God for a hole, it's not going to happen because you're standing there with a shovel. We got God's Word. If we're thirsting and hungering after righteousness, we go to God's Word. We go to church. We go where God is speaking. That's where it happens. And when it goes in, praise God, it works. It will not fail. Ephesians 2 and 6, please. I'm sorry, Ephesians 1 and 3, I think is what I've already quoted it a while ago. It says, we are ascended. Yeah, blessed be the God in favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual favor, blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're ascended through Christ. The point I'm trying to make, and I'll get to it in just a minute, Romans 8:17, please, Travis. So we see we're crucified, justified, sanctified, satisfied, and ascended with Christ. And it says, and if children, meaning us, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's very, very, very important. Don't ever skip by that. If you're born again and you're heirs of God, meaning you take on the things that God's given you and has in store for you, you're also joint heirs with Christ. That word joint does not mean that you're down here. Now, don't get me wrong. We are not Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that. But we're joint heirs with Him in the fact that what He went through in redeeming us, that God gave to us through Jesus. We can have what Jesus has as a man, because we are men in this world right now, mankind, humans. Then heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, the suffering don't mean that we have to suffer like He did before He went to the cross. That means we suffer through this life. Because Jesus said there's going to be temptations, there's going to be trials, there's going to be persecutions. Every one of us is going to have to suffer something. That don't mean we're going to have our head chopped off, necessarily. Or that we're going to be physically beat, necessarily. But if we are, for God's sake, for the Word's sake, for Christ's sake, whatever we go through, when we're born again, because of the sake of the Word of God, who is Christ Jesus, we are joint heirs with Him. We're glorified with Him. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, please. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is awesome right there. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. For in Jesus Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In a body, both physical and spiritual. What does that mean for us? And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Praise God. I know I ain't going to have time getting nowhere else. You put John 14 and 12 up there. I got it in the list, but it's kind of out of place. Now we see, as I've told you, we've been crucified through Christ. We've been justified through Christ. We've been sanctified through Christ. We've been satisfied through Christ. We are ascended in heavenly places through Jesus Christ. And we suffer with Him, and we're glorified through Him, and we are complete in Him. And Jesus is saying this right here, and you might say, well, how can we have that power? Well, I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he that who? Believeth. That's a powerful word. It's a verb word. A verb is an action word. A verb word is not, it's just up there a word. Something has to happen. Believeth. That means I believe it no matter what. It's in my heart. What does that mean? It means that when you believe something, nobody can take it away from you. Now, sometimes we believe things that's wrong. I have myself. But when I believe something, I'm going to hang on to it until a couple of things happen. Being a Christian, if I believe something about God, I'm going to hang on to it until somebody tells me through His Word that that's not the way it is. And then at that point, I'm going to believe what God's Word says. In my natural life, I'm going to believe what I believe until I decide that that's either wrong or I'm tired of believing it. But when you believe something, you hang on to it. You don't let it go. I believe our pastor, he loves each and every one of us and prays for us just as he claims. I believe that in all my heart. I know it. I'm going to hang on to it. I do hang on to it. Ain't nobody going to change my mind about that. Nobody. And Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And what? Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Jesus done some mighty stuff. Healed many, many people. I believe it's in the book of Mark. It says if you could write it down, the books would not ever hold it. All the good things that he did. He raised people from the dead. He healed people, raised them from the dead. He gave them hope. He gave them peace. Speaking to them and ministering to them. And he says, he that believeth on me, I'm going to paraphrase there, I don't mean to tell you that. In other words, Jesus is saying, all the things you saw me do, if you believe on me as the Son of God, what I'm doing for you, you're going to do much more than I did, if you so choose. That's what I want to do. And it's not that I want to do it to be selfish. I want to do it to complete God's will in my life. And although I'm slower than a herd of turtles about a lot of things, I'm trying to speed this up a little bit because I want it to be right. And I know if I stay in God's Word, it'll be right. And I'm probably going to have to stop here because when we have all these things through Christ, the Scriptures I have given you have proved that Jesus bought and paid for them with His blood, His suffering, His anguish, and His love for us. And then He says, the things that I've done, if you believe on me, you can do greater. You shall do greater if you believe. There's your authority. There's my authority. That's it in the Scriptures right there. And I guess next month I'm going to have to go on a little further because there's much more to it than this even. But this is the beginning of it. Whenever I read that book I told you about earlier, I'm reading this thing and I can't put it down. I'm staying up, you know, I'm getting up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm staying up to midnight reading this book. And it's got Scriptures with it, so I'm reading my Bible with it. Because like Brother Scotty said, and I was raised to, whatever you read or hear, if it backs up God's Word and agrees with God's Word, then it's right. If it don't, then you need to stay away from it. I don't care who, what, where, when, or why. So I've always done that. And the reason I couldn't put it down is because I had asked God, Lord, I know there's something else going on and I want it. And I'm still speaking that today. And I want it. And I'm going to get it. I'm not going to quit until I get the next phase, the next step God has ordered in my life through His Word. Because Jesus paid for it. Why would I not take it? It's a gift. It is, and it's not that it's authority to, you know, throw around, flash around, say, I've got this and I've got that. It gives me something that does two things, and I'm going to have to stop. Number one, It gets me through this world like I could not, and nothing in this world could ever get me through and work in His kingdom. I'm going to call it supernatural motivation. And sometimes I need it. A lot. And also, it gives me joy and peace that I've never known in my life. Every single time God takes me a little further with something, and it's not that He won't take me, it's that I've got to get myself in the right position for it to happen. I have never, ever, ever regretted it. Ever. Because when it happens, there's something inside of me, it's, I don't even know how to describe it. Praise God, I love it. I'm going to have to stop. That's all the time I got for this morning. Thank you guys for listening to me. Is anything, anybody got anything they want to say? Okay, we recessed until 11. God bless y'all. I love y'all.